This podcast delves into the dark, the depraved, and all things to keep you up at night. Listener discretion is advised. Now, sit back, pull the covers over your head, and allow yourself to be taken on a journey through the abyss.
Hey there, pod people. Thanks for tuning in to part two of Through the Abyss podcast, Gary Gamfer episodes. We are again joined by my friend Leslie and, of course, Ben, and we'll go ahead and jump right back in.
You saw pictures of 17-year-old him, which, you know, doesn't it kind of give off a little bit of Dahmer vibes?
No. I've seen a picture of him, later on. He looked like a little chubby redheaded kid in the pictures that I saw of him when he was in court, like at the beginning. But now maybe a little bit, when his older self, maybe a little Dahmerish, because he's had those weird glasses, like the Dahmer glasses on, I think. But I didn't get, you know, serial killer cannibal off of him.
I remember him being a blonde.
Maybe, I don't know. I told you my memory's horrible. I'm just going off of like a 2-second picture I saw on one of the local news
and now
outlets.
I have to look him up and see how I feel because I don't know what he looks like.
Okay. I'm just thinking of like teenage Dahmer or even like, you know, Dahmer when he was arrested, you know, just because I remember when Dahmer got in, that was all over the news. And he didn't come off to me as like some nerdy, quiet person.
Yeah. Most serial killers do.
And if you watch Dahmer interviews now, we've talked about this in a couple of our other episodes because I've been watching a lot of this Dahmer stuff that's out now.
Yeah.
In his interviews, he seems empathetic. He seems he seems sincerely like he
actually remorseful.
Feels bad for what he did. He seems like a very well-spoken, articulate. He's like, I just had these compulsions, I couldn't control them, type of stuff that he's very self-aware. It's like, how is this guy a serial killer? How did this happen?
Well, and I mean, I think that's kind of the underlying gist of all serial killers. It's that addictive compulsion that they have. They just can't, you know.
He also comes off as very, very flat. Like, he has a very flat affect.
Yeah, it's monotone, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. I mean, you're right. Like, I'll give you that. So when I say that he comes off as empathetic and he's got remorse and things like that, I'm going by what he's saying.
Yeah.
But you're right that his like face and the inflection of his voice and things, they don't add to that at all. It's very monotone. Well, yes, I feel bad
that's
for
just
families and all of
that's
the money
just who he is
families.
Though my right. brother's the same exact way. He's very monotone. He's very, his face is very expressionless, but you know, he's not a serial killer, and we lost her.
Well, that's what I was going to say though. You have never seen your brother.
No, I'm back.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But I was going to say, you've never seen your brother in this extreme circumstance. Well, thank God your brother hasn't.
Well,
killed
I would hope not. Cause
like, but in that circumstance, had that happened, your brother might cry and be like, oh my gosh, what did I do? Right? Like,
no,
you've
he
never
probably
seen
wouldn't.
Him in that circumstance. But Jeffrey Dahmer in that circumstance is like, I know that there's no way that I can ever repay the families for what I've done. I just hope that any money that comes in from this will go to the families. That's almost like spot on what he said, by the way. But he says it like that. There's no like, he's not like crying. He's like, I know I hurt these lives. And like, you know, there's, so I see what Leslie's saying. He says things that are remorseful. His emotions don't seem remorseful. Very flat.
But again, that's just who he is.
He's very flat. It comes off as insincere. I think Dahmer's off as insincere. A lot of the same way that if you've listened to the, he cut off his mom's head and then had sex with it. What was
Kemper.
That guy's
Edmund
name?
Edmund Kemper.
Ed Kemper. Yeah. If you listen to Ed Kemper's tapes, it's very Dahmer-ish, you know, in the fact that it's just very factual. It's flat. You know?
Yeah, but there's a difference. It's Kemper liked the attention. And
well, so did Dahmer.
Like, to an extent, but I mean, Kemper was even more so because, hell, he's the one who helped shape the FBI's BAU, their behavioral analysis
right.
people. You know, he helped him and Bundy both.
But Dahmer's whole murdering purpose was the attention. Might not have been the world's attention, but he didn't want to be alone. So he didn't want these guys to leave once he brought them over. And then when they try to leave, he killed. Like, the whole thing was he needed attention.
Yeah, he was just, he was driven by the fact that he didn't want to be alone. He had that abandonment issue.
BTK, though.
On the pseudo celebrity status of being a serial killer. Mm-hmm. I think Ed Kemper got off on the attention he was getting for the crimes. And I think Dahmer, I think it fed into his ego too, you know? And I think he, before he murdered, I think he enjoyed the pseudo celebrity status he got as a serial killer.
Yeah. Well, I think it goes back to the power aspect, because all of them have that natural want to control and be powerful aspect.
Yeah, I mean, the BTK, Bundy, they had that too. But I was thinking of the BTK interview, or when he's in court talking about all of the crimes he committed. Again, just super flat, no emotion. And then I tied her hands, and then I shot her. But she wasn't dead, so I came back and shot her again.
Like, he didn't fucking feel any remorse for anything that he did.
Well, he never even said he was remorseful. But it is just interesting how all of these people just have zero emotion.
Yeah.
I like Kemper, though. He's one person I would actually love to sit down and chat with. I don't know why.
Because you're weird.
Well, we already knew that.
Just don't let him take your head. He does nasty stuff with it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's an old guy now, so I don't think it would be okay.
You know what? They probably still get Viagra.
I doubt it. I don't think he's allowed conjugal visits in the hospital he's in. Not that I would ever. I don't like him for that reason.
a conjugal visit with a head.
I like you for that reason.
Oh, God.
And once again, we're off topic.
Oh, this happens a lot, so it's okay.
In my mind, I see like him getting one of those like Halloween heads delivered to the facility that he would have been in.
Poor Kemper alone. He's doing his time, people. Come on, leave him alone.
The people in the prison are like, why did you get that? And he's like, they're giving me head.
I'm sorry, but there's just something about Ed Kemper that I don't know
crap about Brian Laundrie, and you're like, oh, poor Ed Kemper.
Right.
Don't even talk to me about Brian Laundrie, because he's a fucking moron.
But he committed suicide, which is a tragic thing.
No, it's not. You know what? And it's his own goddamn parents' fault, because if they'd have turned him into to start with, he'd still be alive today. Yeah. So and his parents fuck didn't them do and the fuck right Brian
thing.
Too.
His parents did not do the right thing, but they also didn't kill someone. And now they have the tragedy of losing him. Plus, he'd been dating her for a
good.
While.
Good. It's called like instant karma.
I'm just saying no one won in this situation. All the families families were destroyed.
But the Laundries got what they deserved. I'm sorry, because you know they tortured poor Gabby Petito's family by not saying anything.
I don't think any parent deserves that.
No.
Well, that's because you are a parent, so you're being sympathetic to them for that reason. I have no sympathy for them whatsoever.
Well, I just think, you know, your kids become adults, and sometimes they put themselves in situation and they make choices that are so contrary to the way that your family has ever functioned and the way that you are. It is a tragedy for the parents. They lost a part of their family. I think they assisted in his suicide. I think they knew well what he was going to. I think they knew that by letting him evade the police, they were assisting in his suicide, but that doesn't make it less tragic for the parents.
I don't care. Don't care.
No heart.
Oh, but poor Ed Kemper.
Right, but this guy's banging our head. Come on, Mandy.
I'm sorry. I just like Ed Kemper. I don't know why. I didn't say I believe in what he did was right. He should be in prison for the rest of his life, but still.
But okay, I'm going to tell you the evil hypocrisy of what you're saying. I'm just going to throw it out there in very, like, the simplest way I can.
I will fly out there and stab you. Just so
you only don't have compassion for Landry because he's not an interesting person.
I never said he wasn't interesting. He's psychotic. That's interesting.
But Ed Kemper, you think he's got all these cool things you want to know about, so he can do anything and you still think he's okay.
Yeah, but he's still in prison and he's still doing his time. Brian Landry's a fucking coward and took the easy way out.
I mean, he should have been in prison. Is he better off?
Well, hell yeah, everybody's better off we're on the other fucking side instead of in this goddamn world.
I don't know what happens after suicide, but I'm not trying to find out.
Well, I don't believe in hell, so that's where we're different.
I don't necessarily.
So, the other side has to be better than this one.
I don't know that...
Because the other side, I can come back and fucking haunt people. You know how fun that would be? Let's
edit this part out.
No, I'm going to edit this part out. This is part of what we do. Anyway, so back to... Who the hell are we doing today? Oh, Gary. Gary Gamfer. We've talked about several people. So we're talking about Gary today. But anyway, he was released September 1st in 2017. And the only thing I have on this is what Jessica's sister said about his release. And I'll play that for you. It's just real quick.
Was he released good behavior?
I'm assuming so, yeah. I mean, it doesn't even say why he's released, but I mean,
yeah.
I mean, he served a little bit, you know, a little more than half of his sentence, but, you know, I don't know. Let me play what she said and then.
There is a sex offender registry. You can easily look it up and identify where sex offenders are living, but there's no I Kill Children registry. That seems like something we need.
Yeah, she's not happy about that, which I can't blame her. But what do you guys think about that? Since they couldn't prove that there was any kind of sexual anything done to her, he doesn't have to go on a sex offenders registry.
I mean, yeah, you wouldn't put him on a sex offender registry if he's not deemed as assaulting her in any way in that regard. I don't know that that should have been the case in this, but given that he wasn't, I would think you'd have to do that. But I think her point is interesting. I think if it's not self-defense, everyone deserves to know if there's a murderer in their neighborhood, whether they kill a child or another adult.
Yeah, which I'm surprised, you know, if they felt this strongly about him, you see a lot of victims' family members trying to get legislation pushed through to get something like that done, which nothing that I know of has been done. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't see why there would be any kind of legality as to, you know, making people register for something like that. I mean, there's certainly public record of it anyway. You just obviously don't know where they live. Of course,
And that's fair. I mean, Leslie just said earlier, like, exactly the area he lives. So it's like not like this guy's hiding. People know.
Leslie, do you know where he lives?
Well, people know because it's been very public with his release.
Yeah.
When his release was... So I guess because I went to high school with him. So across my social media outlets, when every time he's come up for parole, you know, it's been a reminder in my social media world of who he is, the crime he did, petitions to keep him in jail. And then when the last parole, and we heard that he was being released, that the committee agreed to release him because he was being released, I think, into the back into the care of his grandparents, I believe. Then it switched, and it was the push, the victims' families and the community that really felt like he needed to stay in jail were pushing where he was going to be released, where he was living. Ironically, he's released, I believe, in the same neighborhood my sister had just moved out of when he was released, that they would have been living in the same neighborhood. So, so I'm aware because of my social media circles. But I would think that I'm pretty sure a condition of his release was that he had to be in the care of, like, he had to have custodial care, you know, and that brings me more to question of, you know, the whole judicial system in general. He went in as a 17-year-old in which we don't really have it confirmed whether or not he does have some cognitive or developmental impairments. But was the system he was put into as a 17-year-old, did that stunt further development of his brain because of the environment he was living in? We know our environment has a huge impact on our brain's ability to develop and to do this consequence and, you know, cause and effect type type of reasoning skills. If that has been further retarded because of the environment he was put in as a 17-year-old and the conditions of that environment, is it really safe for him to be in society if we don't know if he has improved that reasoning?
Well, and that's the problem, because, I mean, people get put in prison. It's, I don't care what anybody says, there's no reform in prison. I mean, you can talk to just about any inmate who's been in some kind of, you know, prison, and they're not going to speak in very high regards of their prison time.
Yeah. At first I thought you were saying they can't improve. People can improve. You're saying prison doesn't facilitate that very well.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think you probably have to be a very strong person and really know how to take advantage of the system. Like, I mean, like Carla Homolka, she was who we will do eventually. She was one of the Ken and Barbie killers. She actually got her college degree when she was in prison. So obviously her time, she knew how to spend her time well on the taxpayers' dollars, of course. So
it would suck knowing that she's out nowadays and she's in different PTA and school groups. I think as a parent, I should know that I should have access to being able to find out that information.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I agree with the victims. You know, we need to have an impact on changing law. I think, you know, if somebody is living in my neighborhood and they are convicted of murder, even if it is a crime of passion, even if it was justifiable, you know, I think I would still want to know that they have an ability to be triggered into that response, because it changes how my interactions are. You know, I'm probably not going to flip them off as I'm driving by because I don't like the way they parked in their driveway. You know, if I know that they can have a trigger response that leads to murder.
Right.
Yeah. But at that same thing, don't you think most of us are capable of killing another human being? I know I am.
I might have to report you for that statement.
I just said it on a public forum. We're okay. I mean, seriously, if somebody was threatening... if somebody was threatening somebody I loved, if they're hurting an animal, I will put them down and not think twice about it. If
I mean, it's a self-defense and things situation, like that. As far as like a premeditated thing, no, that's not...
No, I'm not talking premeditation. I'm talking like, you know, in defense of a loved one or for self-preservation. I think we all have it in us too.
Well, I have told you, Mandy, for the last 23 years that we've known each other, I'm gonna be the dead girl. You know, I don't think I have it in me to commit murder. I would be like, let me play possum and hopefully survive.
And but what if it was one of your kids' lives?
I don't think I have it in me. You know, I think I would put myself between my kid and the situation in hopes that my kid could survive through my death. I don't know if I have it in me to inflict on another person harm or death. You know, I don't even know if I can physically harm another person. I just don't know.
I would say it's hard to say until you get there, but in my mind, I don't see it being easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying I would find it easy. I'm just saying I could do it.
Yeah, I don't think I have the fight in me. I think I've got the flight, and I think that will get me killed. You know,
I've got the fight.
When you get there, though, it might change. Well, hopefully, you never get there. I'm not putting that on you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you are kind of scaredy cat when we go to haunted places. So, you know, of course, Ben is too.
I have some jump issues too. I wanted to jump back just real quick to something Leslie said earlier, because I thought it was huge and it's greatly important. Given the fact that this person's put into custodial care when they get out and they're roughly what, 40 something currently?
Yeah, roughly
46.
46.
That really gives credence to the fact that there was some sort of cognitive impairment. And then, like, as you said, prison's not going to make that any better. So this person's development has been stunted, as you also said. So it's very, very scary, because there's almost zero chance that they're not the same 17-year-old kid. That committed that crime right at this very moment. Right. So they're out on the street now in the same care.
Passing out Halloween candy.
Yeah. Right. And you said they went back to the grandparents, correct?
Possibly.
So if they're with the grandparents, they're in the exact same position they were, right?
Well,
yeah.
And this is after. So if you've got someone who just killed an 8-year-old, well, didn't just. At that point, they had killed an 8-year-old, and they've got this development. Their development's being stunted by in prison, probably over the years. They've been there a long time. At least some beatings.
He was probably raped in prison.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like good things don't happen to you there. There's no way you get to the end of that and you're good. Like, he would have been much better off in a mental health care facility. So what I'm saying,
he could have been reformed,
a ticking
maybe.
Time bomb at this point, because the person's the same person plus a lot more trauma.
You know, unless he really, does have that psychopathic trait where, reform's just not going to help. But we don't know, because nobody will come out, and I wish the fucker would just do a damn interview and just answer questions.
Maybe that would help going on right now.
Huh?
I'm just hoping he has extreme outpatient care going on right now. Like part of
if he is with his grandparents, hopefully they've got him in some kind of treatment.
Yeah. I mean, that could be part of the release too, right? I'm not sure if that's a thing, but I would assume it is.
Yeah. I would think that part of his release would require him to check in with, because I mean, just because you're out on parole doesn't mean you're out without jurisdiction. You know, you still have to check in with your parole officer.
Right.
There's requirements of parole. I am sure that therapy is a requirement of his parole.
Yeah.
I hope so.
It would have to be. It would have to be. If you go in for a drug-related offense, your parole requires you to have therapy, requires you to participate in some kind of AA program.
Yeah.
You know, so I would think that if we do that for people who get arrested for smoking pot or possessing pot, I would hope we would do something like that for someone who's got, murderous tendencies.
I would hope so too.
That's the problem with our judicial system. The things that should be logic just aren't.
Right. But given all that, I have a hypothetical for you guys, because I really don't know the answer. Say they let him go after this amount of time, just because they're like, we don't want to house this guy anymore. Nothing has occurred therapy wise. Therapy's not part of it. And he went on to kill someone else. Could the victim's family sue the prison? Is that even a thing? I mean, I'm sure they could sue him, but would they win?
I think they should have that ability.
Should, yes, but legally, can they? I don't think they can. I don't know.
Why not?
That's sad.
We need to ask Martina.
Would be neglect of the prison. Like, it would be an egregious travesty that they didn't get this person.
Well, I mean, think about all the murderers that get, they get released on good behavior or whatnot, end up killing somebody else, and they're back in prison again. Their sentence just gets longer, but you don't hear of people suing.
Right, but you don't hear about it, winning. But are people suing them and saying, why did this happen, and do some of those law? I'm going to have to look that up after this and just find out if there are these lawsuits and if some of them win.
Just ask Martina. She would probably know.
She would.
But I also think it depends on the condition of the release. Were these other people released because they served their time? So legally, the system had no more hold on them because they served their time. This is a parole incident. This is where a committee sat down and said, we don't think that he is a risk to the community or to himself.
That's different. Right.
Yeah, but
there's a big difference in that.
Yeah, but I mean, couldn't they argue, just playing devil's advocate here, well, he was a model prisoner. He was aces in his therapy that, he had during his prison time. So we saw no potential threat to the community, at large, because he seemed to have reformed himself whilst in prison.
I mean, if they said that, I would see it as something that they would say, number one. But number two, it's just ignorance, because now he doesn't have his arsenal of knives, right? And we know he's somebody that wasn't very good at making connections. So he probably stayed to himself in prison. And if he's not the kind of person that's going to make social connections where he's going to get himself a shank, right? Like he's got nothing, right? Like he can't hurt anyone there. I guarantee you he was a model prisoner.
Or he could have been this just big time badass that,
people all of a sudden he's super social and he's prison boss. I doubt it.
Well, I doubt it too.
That's the thing. I mean, if I don't know, if I were in his shoes, it just seems like I would want maybe to get my side of the story out, because he never has. His grandparents never have told anything. It just, you know, not for publicity's sake, but maybe just to lessen. I mean, I'm not saying that he's getting threats or anything, but he could be, because I mean, people know where he's living now. But I mean, in my mind, I think I would want to try to put my community at ease and be like, look, this is what happened a long time ago. I'm not that same person. Stop throwing eggs in my house.
I mean, I think clearly part of us not having a lot of information on what went down is, as Leslie had said, that he was probably hush-hushed back then. Mm-hmm. And I doubt that that's changed. They're probably like, look, don't speak of this to anyone. That time is over. You don't want to get in trouble again for saying something you should. I know you can't, but like, my point is, I think he's probably got that same 17-year-old mindset where it's just like, they told me not to say anything, and he's just not gonna. He probably doesn't care.
And who's to say that his side of the story is flattering? What if his side of the story is
worse?
I fantasized about killing people. I had an opportunity. I knew she would trust me because we were friends. We rode the bus together. We played games together, and I knew I could get her trust. And I decided to see if reality fit my fantasies. What if that's his story? I wouldn't want to, as a custodial guardian of him, I wouldn't want him to get that out there.
No. And that probably is what happened, but you wouldn't want him to say that.
Right. You wouldn't want him to say that. So you would not want to him to grant interviews. You wouldn't want him
but you know, people are already thinking that anyway, because I mean, it's already been said, it's already put in print.
Change his name.
He really should, if he hasn't already.
This is Tom, right?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people do, when they come out of situations like that, they do try to gain a new identity just for that purpose of, you know, not being hassled. But you know, keeping the same name, going back to the same fucking community he grew up in, where it happened, that's just dumb. I'm sorry. That's stupid.
I mean, but we don't know. I mean, he had to put in a custodial care, right? We don't know the financial status of if it is his grandparents or whoever has him. They might not necessarily have the means just to be like, we're moving to Oklahoma, right? So they're going to stay where they've lived forever. They're not going to change their lives just to accommodate him.
Well, and legally on parole, he may not be allowed to leave the state.
Well, that's true. Very good point. That's true.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I'd move back to the same county that committed a murder.
Well, he's not in the same county. He's in a different county.
Is he in Butler now? He said he's by the airport.
No, he's in Boone County. In 2017, he was released to Boone County, but he grew up in Campbell County.
Okay.
So he is in a different community where people may not know that name, like the Campbell County community would know that name.
Right.
You know,
right.
Kind of like the Bosley murders in Campbell County, which is oddly another connection I have is the Bosley murder.
Well, I'll look them up and we'll have another episode on that with you then.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it weird that Leslie has connection to all these murderers, or maybe it's just Campbell County?
I'm starting to question her as a human being at this point, but whether or not that's weird, I don't know.
I'm just saying it happened in the community I grew up in.
Right,
I didn't know that
where you were.
That answers a lot of questions I had about you, Leslie.
Have you ever played
Glad to oblige.
Oh, God.
I'm not playing with Mandy. She has guns and knives.
Yes, that's true.
She said
she knows she could kill. Stay away from her.
Yes, yes, and I've already admitted I'll play dead.
Well, that wouldn't be much of a challenge, Leslie, so I think you're safe. You know, if I'm gonna take a life, I damn well want it to be hard for me to do it, so give me some opposition. I'm kidding, by the way. I don't really want to kill anybody. I'm just saying I could if I had to. Just don't let me see you hurting an animal, because I wouldn't think twice about it.
Just to see how it feels, right, Mandy? You just want to know.
Just to see how it feels.
Is probably like all of the rest of the norm, the general, I shouldn't say normal, but societal norm of people.
I wondered
what it feels like to have someone's life. In fact, I'm afraid of dead things. Like if I pass like a squirrel on the ground, it will ruin my whole day. I will think about that squirrel until I go to sleep.
Oh, I feel bad. Yeah, when I see stuff like that. I like animals more than I like people.
If I get forced to go to a funeral, I'm in the back. I don't go near the coffins. Like, I can't even be near it.
Well, I mean, I don't sit and wonder what it would be like to watch somebody's life leave their body, because I've seen that. You know, I was with my cousin Kim. We were all there with her when she passed, so I've seen it firsthand, and I don't really particularly care for that. So
no bueno.
No, it was no bueno at all.
And that was more of a peaceful passing. So could you imagine a violent?
Well,
you know, could perpetrator of a violent loss of life.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. You know? I mean, a lot of these serial killers, you know, they like to see that. I guess the light drain out of the person's eyes, and yeah, they get off on it. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not into that. I'm just saying I could defend myself in a deadly manner.
If you're in danger and you're in danger, things might switch quickly. You might very much want to see that person's life end because they're attacking you, right? Like
that, or I'm not kidding. If I saw somebody hurting an animal, yeah, I would have no compunction whatsoever to stab them in the face. Is
I'm pretty sure that if you see someone hurting an animal and you take their life, you're going to prison.
I'm okay with that. You know, I'll get my PhD.
You should report them. Yes, you should not take their life.
Well, that's not satisfying, is it? I swear I'm not a psychopath.
I believe you. I'm just trying to keep you out of prison at this point.
I appreciate that.
We're just looking out for your welfare. Yeah,
just so you know, if someone is about to kill, if someone's about to kill another person, you can take their life and probably be okay. If you see someone about to hurt an animal, like, you cannot take their life. Just so you know,
that's not the rules I live by. I'm sorry.
Break their kneecaps. That's all you got to do. Break their kneecaps.
Yeah, shoot them in the leg or something. Just protect the animal by debilitating them.
You know what? If it was a guy hurting an animal, I would shoot him in the crotch, because that is probably the worst thing you could do to a man.
That might still get you prison time.
Anything, if I attack them at all, it's probably going to give me prison time. It's
not battery. If they're legitimately going to kill an animal, then you might be, I mean, you might not be able to shoot him in the leg. You might be right. I don't know. I think that you pretty much just have to report.
I could stab him maybe a little bit.
You just need to walk around with a baseball bat.
I have those in my car, so I'm good. I have baseball caps in my, or baseball bats in my car, so I'm good.
And you can always say, you know, my aim sucks. I was going for and I got their kneecaps.
You just pull a Nancy Kerrigan on them.
God. Yeah. It wasn't Nancy, was it?
Nancy Kerrigan's one who got clubbed in the knee by Tonya Harding's thugs.
Jeff Galooly.
I love Nancy Kerrigan. She's still one of my heroes. I love her. Always have since I was a sophomore. That's when it all happened.
I like Michelle Kwan.
Of course you do. Of course you do. Because you have a type.
I like ice.
Ice? I don't like the people on it. I just like the ice. Yeah,
I just like the ice. That's it. That's all I got.
She's acting all innocent and everything, but she's a freak. Don't let her innocence fool you. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in to another one of our episodes on Through the Abyss podcast. Want to say a big thank you to Leslie for coming on.
Thank you.
She always makes things fun.
Yes, a lot of good insight. Thank you very, very much.
I was thinking about the laughs, but yeah, insight's great too.
Insight and laughs. Can't Leslie, go wrong
do you
either.
Have any parting words for us?
Words of wisdom.
No, I had some really good parting words, but they cut in and out.
Damn Wi-Fi. But as always,
thanks,
guys,
for
if
traveling
you want to
through the abyss. There you go. That's my parting words.
I'm kind
I'll
of
see
glad
you
I cut
again
you off
sometime.
It. Yes, yes, you definitely will.
I said
definitely
I'll
come
see
back
you
on.
Again sometime through the abyss. You keep cutting me off. That's okay. Should I go?
Yeah, go ahead.
I said, I'll see you again sometime through the abyss.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
And as always, if you want to get in contact with us, our email is throughtheabysspodcast@gmail.com. We are also on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat, and TikTok at Abyss Podcast One. You always do that.
You never say Spotify, and it's our third highest platform, and you say you don't tell anybody.
We'll see you next time, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Well, Ben, we got another episode under our belts. Thanks so much for tuning in to Through the Abyss Podcast. And until next time, keep it weird.
Spooky stuff.